My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. We're going to head on over to the BetQL guest hotline right now. Say hello to Kevin McCarthy. He is going to review Twisters with an S on the end. Not the original Twister. This is, I'm guessing, the sequel set kind of in the same universe. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Papas. It's time to get Rick. Rick, are you guys ready?
We yes. are always ready, Kevin.
Always
How are
ready
you?
For you.
Good morning.
You know, there's a really famous story. My buddy Jake told me about this, and I read about it. It's actually a real story. I guess when they were making the movie Aliens, James Cameron like went into the studio, and they were obviously Aliens is a sequel to Alien, and he just wrote on a poster board or a chalkboard to the studio. He wrote the name Alien, and then he put S with a dollar sign. Basically, kind of the whole idea being like, this is going to make so much money because people love the first Alien. And he was like, trust me, this will do well. And then obviously crushed. And so you're just now when you were saying that Twisters had the S on it, mm-hmm. it just reminded me of that story, because when you have a film that's such a big deal in pop culture and, right. and people's movie history, you add an S to it. I mean, you can make a ton of money, millions and millions of dollars. So it's kind of one of those old school Hollywood tales that I always heard about James Cameron, and like it's obviously something that's happened a lot.
Quick follow up on that: Alien Romulus
that's coming out
in
August.
Theaters in about a month.
Dude, I am so excited!
It looks today. Good.
Fede Alvarez directed that. That's going to be so. What's cool about this new Alien movie is that, and you guys know this. What's old is new again. You know, all these things that are coming back: vinyl, film, people shooting on film versus digital. And there's probably a million other examples of things that old school things that have come back and become popular now with younger audiences. And like, look at vinyl, for example, like Taylor Swift and Harry Styles, for example, are two of the biggest artists in the world. And they have really kind of given younger audiences the understanding of what vinyl does. Like, you know, Taylor will release multiple versions of her albums on different vinyl records. I've said vinyl 35 times. I apologize.
It's okay.
And so my point being is that, like, with Alien Romulus, the point I'm making is that old school filmmaking is coming back. A lot of filmmakers are resorting back to practical effects, not a lot of CGI, you know, shooting on film, trying to bring that, because there's something about cinema. When you watch cinema from decades ago, there's a reason why films like Jurassic Park and The Godfather and all these movies still hold up. It's because they were done with such care, and necessity is the mother of invention. you know, Jaws is one of the greatest examples of all time, because the only reason the shark in Jaws is not in the film a lot of the time is because the shark kept breaking down. And so they don't show the shark fully until later in the film because the shark looked too fake. And the reason why that works is because it's scary. When you're in the ocean, you don't know what's below you. So by accident, because the shark was breaking down, the movie ends up being scarier. So to all that to say, with Alien Romulus, we're going back to that style of filmmaking. And from what I understand, this new movie is going to have like full on like chest burster sequences, like with full practical effects. And I'm just excited about it. And I think people like Christopher Nolan and Quentin Tarantino, these filmmakers who are working in our modern time, have kind of kept that old school filmmaking alive. And that's why I'm excited about Romulus. I mean, it looks awesome. So I know it's a long way of saying that, but I just think that we are in a point now in our lives where all those old school things are coming back because they just work better. When you use computers and CGI and everything just to fill in all these things, it doesn't have the heart and the humanity. It's like AI, for example. Like you can mix in CG, you can mix in some AI, but you have to still have the heart and the passion to do it fully practically if you can.
All right, so Twisters is in theaters tomorrow. I think all of us, I'll speak for most of us, we love the original. Like that, if that's on TV, I'm going to sit down and at least watch a portion of it when it's on TV, 20 or 30 minutes of it at a time.
I believe it was 30 years
ago. If not more. So talk about Twisters, and should we go see it in the theaters this weekend?
Yeah, so, I mean, the first Twister was so much fun. I rewatched it recently. I mean, it's so sad, though, because I said this to someone the other day. There's a scene in the movie Babylon, which was a Damien Chazelle film, where Brad Pitt's character is an actor, and he's starting to realize that his fame is fading away. And someone says to him, listen, in 100 years, someone's going to put on one of your movies, and you're going to come back to life. And so I'm watching Twister the other day, and, you know, Bill Paxton and Philip Seymour Hoffman are both passed on. And they're both excellent in that movie. And I'm rewatching Twister, and I'm just sitting there going, Bill Paxton and Philip Seymour Hoffman have just come back to life on my TV screen. There they are. They're just immortalized on film. And that movie is remarkable. But, you know, this is the guy who directed the Twister. You know what he did right before it? Speed.
Speed, yeah.
It's a pretty good 1-2 punch there.
Yeah, so there's a famous scene in the first Twister where they're at a drive-in theater. Do you guys remember the movie that's playing at the drive-in?
It's The Shining, if memory serves.
It is.
Yeah.
It is The Shining. So we just had the filmmaker on my podcast. This podcast is called Real Blend, if you want to check it out. But and he's telling a story. He goes, in order for me to get The Shining in my movie, I had to reach out to Warner Brothers to see if I could use the footage. And apparently he got on the phone with Stanley Kubrick, and Kubrick was like, yeah, I love Speed. Of course you can use my footage. And I was like, that conversation alone sounds incredible. But that first movie, I mean, the cow scene is one of the most iconic moments, at least in 90s movie history. And back then the CGI was rudimentary. It was still, you know, finding its form, but it still looks good.
Yeah.
And so I love the first Twister, and Helen Hunt's great. So question now is the new one great? It's fine.
Oh, I knew it.
Here's the thing. At the end of the day, Glenn Powell and Daisy Edgar-Jones and Anthony Ramos, the three stars of the movie, they're great. They're great on screen. Their performances are great. It's basically the same movie. It's essentially, you know, competing teams of storm chasers who are trying to get the best data. And, you know, there's a love story element to it as well. I think the problem with this one is there's not a single memorable, like, major scene. Like when I look back at Twister, the scenes I just mentioned to you, you guys remembered those scenes, and those scenes are almost 30 years old.
Yeah.
The fact that you remember The Shining was playing at the drive-in theater is exactly what I'm talking about. There's nothing in this one that I will look back and go, oh, that's going to be a classic scene in 20, 30 years. Now, did I have fun watching it? Sure. I mean, the tornadoes are interesting. Now, one thing I will tell you is this. This is the difference between the original and the new one. This one focuses a lot on, and I think this is a good thing, you know, these movies exploit a little bit these horrific events that happen to real people in real life, you know, and what I mean by that is, like, when we're watching a Twister movie, we're going for entertainment, but we forget sometimes the damage that these things actually do and the lives that they take and the money they take from, you know, communities and small towns and things like that. And so the movie actually focuses a lot on that, the effort to help people clean up, the effort to help people get out safely. And so that part I found really interesting. But overall, I thought the story wasn't great. Script is bad. Like, there's just like, there's, to me, there's a tone. And you guys know the first Twister is fun. It's cheesy, but it's fun. It actually has good emotional arcs to it. The whole bit of that movie is Bill Paxton is trying to get his divorce papers signed. That's the entire through line of that movie. And then everything else that happens is part of that narrative. In this movie, I didn't find anything interesting to latch on to, and it feels too long. So I'm kind of, I had fun, but I didn't love it. I was kind of like, I'm like 3 out of 5. I just wasn't
huge. Wow, that's low.
For you?
Yeah, that's really low.
Is Glenn Powell a good actor? I know he's good looking, but is he a good actor?
Yeah. And listen, I will say this. I'm in the minority. If you guys go to Rotten Tomatoes, I think it has like a 77% or something.
Yeah.
I
mean, on it.
And so here's the thing. I've told you guys this before. If I went on Rotten Tomatoes right now and posted my review as a 3 out of 5, it would be fresh. So I would be adding to that number. So remember, like, you know, when you see a 77%, that could be a lot of people like me who are just giving it like a middle of the road review, but it still posts as positive. To answer your question, JP, I think Glenn Powell, he's been around for a while, but the Top Gun Maverick effect of him was really kind of the jumping point. Obviously, he was on Scream Queens. But if you guys remember, he has the moment in Top Gun Maverick. He has, like, the big moment. Do you guys remember the moment?
I do not remember it.
So the whole, for people out there listening, sorry if you haven't seen it, but there's a whole scene where Tom Cruise and Miles Teller are, like, trying to escape an enemy plane.
Right.
And it's at the end of the film, and then Glenn Powell comes in and shoots it down and saves their lives. Like, he gets that big hero moment. Remember, he's sitting on the aircraft carrier, and he's, like, mad that he can't go help. And then all of a sudden, he surprises and saves their lives. Mm-hmm. Like, that type of moment in cinema, like, you guys have to realize, like, that has an effect on audiences. Like, people start to realize, oh, I want to see that guy more and more, even if it's just subconsciously. But he's in everything now. The Anyone But You movie, he was in Hitman on Netflix. He's a really nice guy. Like, he's one of those guys that kind of reminds me of Tom Cruise. Like, I walked in the room to interview him the other day. It was him and Daisy Edgar Jones. And the timer looked at him and said, all right, Kevin's coming in from WTTG in Washington. And he looks up, he goes, oh, Kevin McCarthy, really? Cool, awesome. Like he knew.
Yeah, I knew you were. Oh, cool.
Well, because, like, I call it, like, the Tom Cruise school of things, because, like, these guys are so tuned into the press in a really nice, in a really cool way. But I've also been interviewing him before he was famous. So it's like, there's kind of like a, it's just cool. It's nice to, and his parents were there watching the interviews. Like, he's just he feels like a really good dude.
So Powell plays, he plays the Bill Paxton character, not the Cary Elwes character, correct?
Actually, he's kind of, so.
Kind of both?
If you want to place it, so for people who don't know, remember the original Twisters, the Cary Elwes character was kind of like not a villain, but he was the guy.
He was the rival, yeah.
Glenn's kind of both of them. He's kind of a mixture of Bill Paxton and the Cary Elwes character into one. And then Daisy is the Helen Hunt character.
Yep.
And then the side characters aren't as fun. Like, you guys remember Philip Seymour Hoffman? Like, we all know him as dramatically. Mm-hmm. That dude was one of the funniest actors. If you see the movie called Along Came Polly, he's so great in that movie.
Oh, he's great. He's he's a 20 out of 10 in that movie.
Dude, I still...
Sandy Lyle? Is that his character's name?
Yeah.
Dude, so good.
The speech he gives at the end about crocodile tears.
Yeah.
Like, but dude, I always... You know what scene makes me laugh in that movie, Cakes, is the scene when Ben Stiller's playing basketball and he rubs up against that guy's chest.
Well, it's an iconic scene. It's a great scene.
It's so good.
He
loves it.
Film dork. He loves it.
He's the biggest film dork.
It's his Super Bowl. Yeah. He loves
gives
it.
Gives so much pleasure.
Yeah, I get psyched. So 3 out of 5 for Twisters. I'm kind of...
That's all you need to say. I mean, you give it a 3, I don't need to see it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it just depends on, like, how, like, if you're going to go to, like, a Tuesday matinee for, like, $5, you might walk out and go, okay, I had fun with that.
I mean,
it's just kind of, like, it's just fine. Personally, just put on the first one, man. The first one's so great. It's like, and it also just do a double bill with that and Speed.
I'm just going to pivot, Speed. Kevin. I'm going to punt Twisters. I think I'm going to see Long Legs on Sunday.
Oh.
I think I'm going to go see it.
Anyone seen it yet?
No.
Jason threatened to go see it, but he didn't.
I was going to see it. I was going to see it, and a listener told me that McCarthy's high as a kite if he thought it was a 4.5. So I said, oh, maybe I'll step back.
Jason, I've known you for 19 years, and you're gonna listen to a guy you don't even know.
Well, you,
that's how it works.
I mean, I can't think of him off the top of my head, but you've rated some movies high, and I saw them and I didn't like them. So I mean, it happens.
That's fine. Yeah. So here's the thing: Long Legs. This is something that needs to be.
I think I will see it though.
Like people, I went and saw it a second time. This is the way that this film is being marketed. I think is actually hurting the movie in terms of how people are perceiving it when they leave the movie. This has been marketed as one of the scariest movies of all time, scariest movie of the year, best film of the year. This is not a scary film in the sense that people think horror operates. This is Silence of the Lambs, Zodiac, Seven type of scary. It stays with you. It's an imprint thing. For people who aren't familiar, this is a serial killer film. Nicolas Cage plays Long Legs. Michael Monroe is an FBI agent who's on track to finding him. I think the problem is that people are walking in expecting typical horror. And what people don't realize is that horror is many things. It's not just jump scares. It stays with you. And I don't know if you guys saw the box office for this thing, but it was a $10 million film to make. I think it made $22 million this weekend. This is a very small studio called Neon. They took on this film. The guy who directed it is Anthony Perkins' son, Norman Bates from Psycho. And it's a remarkable piece of cinema. And I think it is something you've never seen before. It's very unique. But if just go in knowing it's more Silence of the Lambs than The Exorcist in terms of like what you're expecting from a horror film. It's more of a thriller, like drama, but really disturbing. And Cage is absolutely brilliant. Like it is. Alicia Witt is incredible. I just want people to manage their expectations, like, because I think people are expecting horror.
All right, Kevin, we got to run, man. We're up against it. If you did the sequel to Long Legs, it'd be called Long Segments. So we got to go.
I know.
It's Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. We'll talk to you again next week. When we come back, we'll get into the Commanders. One analyst predicting a big year for the Commanders offense in 2024. We'll get into that audio next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Before we get into this Commander's audio, I have to thank our friends at the PLL, Premier Lacrosse League, for sending out a box of swag, some hats and t-shirts. And as minority owners of the Maryland Whipsnakes, I had to throw on my old school style Maryland Whipsnakes lid. So thank you again to the PLL. Paul Rabel and company, we do appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I like the minority ownership in name only.
Yeah, I mean, I think our minority ownership of the Whipsnakes means that we just basically have a pipeline to a lot of free gear.
Free hats.
And free swag.
Right.
Which
cool.
is
And
which
free
is
tickets
good.
If we ever want
I will take ownership in hats, t-shirts, and hoodies.
I feel like we haven't done our part. We need to be more rah-rah.
Oh, that's fine. But for the most part, this is doing the part. This is spreading the brand.
I know, but we only done it once. Like, probably we should probably do it more.
And maybe, you know, we get a pass, sideline pass for the games.
Well, it's guaranteed.
When they're at Homewood, I believe that's their spot.
Problem is, I'm at the beach.
Ah, okay.
You might have to represent.
Schedule-wise, it might not
work. Yeah, you might have to represent for our ownership group.
For the ownership group, yes, yeah. I could do that.
Maybe Valdez.
So thank you again to Paul Rabel, his brother Michael, and everybody at the PLL. We do appreciate it. So we wanted to get into this audio. This is from Emery Hunt, CBS Sports HQ. He's got some predictions about this Commander's offense in 2024. I think more specifically about Terry McLaurin's performance in the offense. Let's hear it, Valdez.
Ended last year. So who's catching tutties, Emery? Give me your top receiving touchdown prop for the 2024 season.
When you look at this number for Terry McLaurin, it seems rather low. And that tells you what the quarterback play has been like in Washington during his career. But if you go back to Ohio State, he was a fifth-year senior. No one really knew about him until Dwayne Haskins, the late, great Dwayne Haskins, took the field. And we saw the deep ball in play for Terry McLaurin. So now you fast forward to now, they have another great quarterback prospect in tow in Jaden Daniels. So him going over 4.5 touchdown passes, I think that's an easy number for him to hit. He's probably going to get closer to 8 or 9 touchdowns. One of the best passes that Jaden Daniels throws is that slot fade. I would expect we'll see that a lot this year for Washington. I'm expecting a big year for their offense, and McLaurin should be the direct beneficiary of those passes in the end zone.
So you look at Terry McLaurin's career stats, and look, a lot of this speaks to the quality of quarterback play he's had since he's been in the league. Mm-hmm. He scored 7, 4, 5, 5, and 4 touchdowns for a total of 25 receiving touchdowns. So he averages about 5. He averages exactly 5 per season.
Mm-hmm.
I think over 4.5. I think that's stealing. I mean, I just think.
I think even if it's not. Jaden Daniels the entire year.
Right.
I think 4.5 is still a good number.
I think it's a low number. So
and it's plus 126. I'm just looking at the FanDuel numbers. I've got all the numbers here for Daniels and McLaurin, but it's plus 126 to go over the 4.5. I would agree with that.
Now, here's the thing. This is violating Valdez's premise that you go under on all totals.
That is true.
No, I'm just talking about that particular stat.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think it's a low number,
now,
too.
Now, with Jaden Daniels' numbers, I probably would go under. Like, he's got,
what are they saying?
His yardage for the year, 3,025.5. His total touchdown or passing touchdown, 16.5.
You're just convinced he's going to get hurt because quarterbacks get hurt and he's not going to play.
Also,
that's
the running
that's
factor.
Your premise.
Running factor, too.
Because if he plays, he's going to soar over those.
If he plays 17 games.
He plays 15 games.
I'll book the over touchdown passes.
What is the number right now?
16.5.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll book that right now.
Okay.
Like, if you want to be the house,
Yeah.
I'll book that, whatever, $10?
Sure.
$20? I don't care.
Sure.
I don't care. I'm so bullish on him going over that number.
I know you are.
And I'm definitely bullish on him over his rushing total, whatever that is.
Jaden Daniels. I'd have to pull that up.
I'm guessing it's probably about 425, 450.
Let's set up a consortium, you and I, all right? All right? Okay. And let's just put in how much. I can't scrape much. I mean, I'm spending so much money on everything. It's okay. Ridiculous. Like, I'm on
fumes. You're not very liquid right now.
I'm the opposite of liquid.
You're insolvent.
Ed, you got to sell some more shares because I need some more dough.
Sell your ownership stake in the whips to me. Yeah, sell it to me.
No,
I
can't sell. It's too valuable, the equity.
Understood.
We'll take our small sack of money.
Let's take our pathetic little sack, whatever it is.
Go to National Harbor and go.
And let's just take the top 10, whatever the number, top 10 quarterbacks or top 10. You pick the stat. Let's just bet all unders.
Take them all.
You guys
take
are the
everyone.
Enemies of fun.
See, that's the thing you got to do. You got to take.
Well, yeah, you got to do it in multiples. Right?
Yeah, you have to.
Right. So let's do it.
And then
we will for sure win.
You know, what we'll do is we'll go through. We'll find everyone posted. We'll have our tiny sack. We'll divide it by that many players that are on there.
Yeah.
And then hopefully we'll get a 63% return on our money.
Yeah. Let's do it. JP, let's talk to your guy that used to do all that stuff, the pitcher that got into all the gambling. Mm-hmm. And let's get him, me, Valdez, and him, and let's do this.
I don't think he's that concerned with your small, tiny sack of cash.
Oh, we might be able to make it a little larger.
All right, so put it in the book, Casey. We're going to do, I guess we're just doing the passing touchdowns.
For now.
For $10, yeah.
$10?
You don't want to do the yardage. I'll do the yardage. On the McLaurin for over 4.5?
I mean, I would bet
you book that?
No, I like McLaurin.
Oh.
I would go over the 4.5 because even if Daniels isn't playing, someone has to throw it to him.
I'm going
to
put this back.
You just think quarterbacks are going to get hurt more than receivers are going to get hurt.
Yes.
I'm putting this wager directly underneath the bet we consummated last week.
Especially a running quarterback.
Mm-hmm. NBA Rookie of the Year, I've fallen in love with Reed Sheppard. I said he should have been the number 2 pick for the Wizards right before the pick. Mm-hmm. Sorry. JP has the field.
Have you put these in the book? I know yesterday you said it's all memorized.
I'm looking right at it.
Let me just say,
because you made a bet yesterday.
And then put ours in too. So put the 16.5.
I'm writing it down as we speak.
$10. $10.
$10.
Yeah.
Willing to put more bets in here too.
So last year, to go to the yardage total, I was trying to look at guys who played a full complement of games. Gardner Minshew played all 17 games. He threw for 3,300 yards. I think there's going to be less passing. Everybody thinks there's going to be less passing because you're moving from Bieniemy to Kingsbury. And it seems counterintuitive, but Kingsbury is the head coach at Arizona, ran the ball a lot.
No, the difference is we're going to be more successful, so we're going to have longer drives.
Right,
so
but Jaden is going to run, I would imagine, 8 to 10 times per game. So Jalen Hurts, you know, runs for 600 to 800 yards per season. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be in that Jalen Hurts territory. I mean, and that means less.
Injured, yes.
Yeah,
and that means
that.
Less throwing of the football.
Yeah, but what did Jalen throw? Or what did Jalen Hurts throw for last year?
So Jalen last year threw for 3,800 yards.
And that was in a down. Yeah. That was a down.
But he also has great receivers, A.J. Brown.
Well, he's
and
also
a Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith.
He's more experienced. But I mean,
Jaden has capable receivers in Terry McLaurin and hopefully a bounce back years in store for Jahan Dotson.
His second season where he played in 15 games, Jalen Hurts threw for 3,100 yards with 16 touchdowns and 9 picks. I could see Jaden having a year like that.
Only 10.
He could take off like CJ Stroud last year, but he could be more like a typical rookie that builds on it.
This is my yearly bet. Mm-hmm. I want to bet that Terry McLaurin tickles double-digit touchdowns, but I would need odds for that.
You need odds for that.
I would need to be given odds because he hasn't come close to that in his career. He hasn't come close.
Well, what kind of odds would you want?
Three to one, I think it is doable.
All right, I'll give you 3-1. He won't get the 10 touchdowns.
I'll take it. Another $10?
Sure, put it in.
Yeah, we're ramping it up today.
You had a lot of action.
It's a good day.
In that
only 10 quarterbacks last year played a full season. So, you know, a third of the league.
And it's what was the lowest total in terms of yards passing out of those 10?
I think it was Minshew. Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Minshew at 3305. It's just hard to play 17 games as a quarterback.
It's tough.
It's possible, but it's hard.
I think,
especially with rookies. I mean, Stroud had a bomb year last year. He played 15 games.
Yeah, I'm going to say 15 is the number I would shoot for
yeah.
him.
And he had 23 passing touchdowns. So, yeah, I mean, if Daniels can get to 15 or 16, yeah, I mean, I'd probably lose that bet.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I think the bet book is just going to transform into nothing but Jaden Daniels bets eventually. Mm. It's just going to morph into that.
What are our bets that we repeated the same bet twice?
Hold on. Let me find it. This book is literally falling apart. It's in tatters over here. Oh, it's the more carries in 2024.
Eckler,
Brian Robinson or Eckler?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I win. The one getting back that in a landslide.
To the McLaurin aspect of that, remember, and I mentioned this yesterday, the one analyst that said that they're going to scrap that whole Bieniemy, spreading it around, rotating the receivers like crazy. Good. They're going to target guys like McLaurin more.
Right.
It feeds your best players.
It makes sense to heavily target your best offensive weapons.
Right. He's not going to be, you know, in and out of the lineup. And like, he's going to be out there as often as possible. Like, and they're going to be targeting him.
Yeah, they're going to minor in De'Ami Brown. How about you major in Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson?
Right.
You know, the guy that you spent a first-round pick on, that Jahan Dotson?
Yeah, I think
you should throw him more balls.
I think he's going to have a bounce-back year, too.
I think he probably should.
But if he doesn't, I will break up with him so quickly. I mean, I'll be over him.
Jahan Dotson, now, I'm not willing to bet on this yet. I could at some point. He needs to have, like,
50-plus.
50, 55 catches.
Because last year,
6 or 7
last
touchdowns.
Year, what did he have?
I'll
he had more
that.
Than you think because everyone just
I'm guessing
poops on him. Maybe 40 something. I think he had more than you think. But
last year, Dotson had he had 49 receptions on 83 50. Targets. Now his yards per catch was low. Was it 10.6?
I blame Bieniemy.
4 end zone trips.
I do. Bieniemy is worst offensive coordinator. Maybe since like Richie Kotite. Was he even an offensive guy, Richie Kotite?
He was a tight ends coach, became head coach.
Yeah.
Let me see. Dotson's rookie numbers. Yeah, he went from averaging, I'm going to round it up to 15 yards per catch.
Yeah.
10.6.
Yeah, that was all scheme.
That's scheme. He may have been in Bieniemy's doghouse and or Bieniemy just wanted to spread it around. Wanted to get the ball to like Dax Milne for whatever reason.
God.
Why would you do that?
I don't know that I could hate an offensive coordinator more than I hated Bieniemy.
You know what?
He's been the worst.
You know what effective offenses do? They throw the ball to CD Lamb. Like they target him 13 times a game.
Right.
Because he's their best player.
Well, CD Lamb's on a different level.
I'm not saying that he's not, but
you're saying
you take your best player.
He led the league in targets.
You take your best player and you major in throwing him the ball.
Like Terry did better with Heinicke throwing the ball. Because Heinicke threw the ball to Terry.
Do you think that big oaf Mike McCarthy cared about getting the ball to, like, is it Jalen Torbert? Is that one of the Cowboys, like, third or fourth receivers? Like, you think he cared about getting the ball to the guy who was always banged up with a knee injury? His name's escaping me. He got big money a few years ago.
And Dak knows to throw it to the number one receiver.
Right.
That's that. And he can get it to
him. Dak is going to major in throwing the ball to CeeDee Lamb and this year to Jake Ferguson, the tight end. That's where the ball is going.
And McLaurin was 19th last year in targets. That's not horrible, 19. Now, maybe you think he's going to be in the top 12 or 13.
He could be. He could take that jump.
Is he going to have
the number one wideout? He should, with a better quarterback throwing him the ball.
I mean, is he going to have more targets than Chris Olave?
I don't know if he'll have more, but he should have around the same number as a Chris Olave.
Yeah, so that's a difference of 6 targets.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think the target number will go up.
Yep.
But
hopefully goes the up
unders.
By a lot.
I just think the unders for quarterbacks is a good bet.
If you want to join us on an open line Thursday, you're welcome to do that on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067. Open line Thursday brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time, and they're installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980. Jason, why don't you update the audience on the open leaderboard?
I mean, it's windy over there right now. I mean, it's affecting a lot of guys.
It's blowing.
Bryson DeChambeau is 6 over through 9. Sungjae Im is 5 over through 7. Max Homa is 4 over through 9. Thigala, who I have in our pool, He's 4 over through 9. So I'm done there. He's done. He's Dunsky. Zalatoris, 3 over through 7. Rory just doubled number 8, the par 3. So he is 2 over through 9.
Bryson's really struggling. He's 6 over through 9.
Yeah, Victor Hovland also 2 over. So a lot of guys are struggling. The course is not playing very easy. There's about 13 guys under par right
Boy,
now.
Tiger's going to have a devil of a time.
Yeah, Tiger goes at 9:37 East Coast time.
He's just so not tournament ready. You know, I mean, yep. He could still hit shots, but
so your leaders are there are. I think there's 6 or 7 guys who are 2 under. Alex Noren, Nikolai Hogarth, Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, Chris Kirk, Maverick McNealy, Minkyu Kim, and Sam Hutsby, all 2 under.
So just in case Tiger makes a miraculous run, okay,
it would have to be a miracle.
What he did in 2019.
Yes, right. It would have to be a miracle.
It might even top when Phil won at 50. Right, and Phil won a major championship at 50. You can hear the hushed tones here because we were in Congressional Clubhouse, and we had the PGA Tour like right over us,
grilling you.
They thought that we were going to ask him about Jamie Grubbs and about Hooters waitresses.
They thought you were going to shock jock it up.
Yeah, and so they intimidate the hell out of you.
Right,
but I got one. Jason had a question for Tiger, and I had a question. I can't remember what yours was because yours didn't go viral.
Jason's question gets no run.
Why did it get no love?
I think you guys had multiple questions. Jason's question
had like 2 minutes.
Jason's question was, "How does your back feel when you hit the ball, basically with your new swing?"
Right.
What kind of schedule are you going to play for the upcoming season?
Right.
I would have bet on. What do you think of the course?
What, Congressional?
Yeah.
From Jason?
Yeah.
Mine, of course, was iconic, and like Golf picked it up, and Golf Channel. Yeah,
like Golf Digest.
Thank you. Here we go.
You know, you alluded earlier to Tom almost winning at 59 at the British Open. We've had this argument on the air many, many times. I believe you or somebody in your condition can win well into their 50s. Mm-hmm. If things factor in, do you agree with that sentiment?
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. And it just has to be on the right golf course. It can't be, if you're at that age, it can't, well, by the time I'm that age, it'll be some golf course that's over 8,000 yards. And it's probably not going to be at one of those. It's probably going to be at a shorter golf course like you would find at a British Open. And, Tom got a turn where it was like the perfect open because it was howling. It's a golf course he had won on. He knew how to play, and it was playing very, very quick. So Tom turns the ball over and runs it out there. So you certainly can see a certain player playing into their 50s and being successful at on a certain venue. Can't do it at all venues, there's no doubt. Mm-hmm. Some ballparks are just too big.
There you go.
It was good. It was awesome.
Fired up now.
That's your one shot in the moment.
The wind is howling.
And of course, you forgot to ask him, hey, if you almost lost your leg in a car accident and you had 14 different surgeries, do you think you could win in your 50s?
Well, do you think he couldn't foresee that?
And what if you don't practice
anymore? It's called sarcasm, dum-dum. That's my point. It's a different point.
That got me fired up. I'm ready.
Right?
Hey, we got the book. We got the book by James Patterson. He can write a new chapter.
Look, I'm the first
in
one
like
to admit.
In like 2 days.
All right, Tiger's played 4 times this year. He's played 4. He went withdraw.
Yeah.
He went T60.
Well, he had diarrhea.
He went miscut.
I hope he has his plane revved up to leave Friday.
Oh, it'll be ready.
Yeah, gassed up and ready.
Hey, you never know.
Hey, who made this Junkies Golf Pool Tracker program for us?
Probably Mark.
I don't want to see it because I'm probably dead last.
No, that was a listener.
Your DFL.
Who gets a kick out of the golf pool segment.
Well, Figala's 4 over.
Yeah, thank you to the listener.
Scott,
appreciate it.
Scott.
A lot of people haven't gone off yet. Mike Moore in last place right now, tied with Fish.
Yeah, I mean, Figala's killing me. And so is Rory. I'm 6 over.
But a lot of people haven't gone off.
I'm 6 over aggregate.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Dunsky.
Just pull a 10 spot out of your wallet. Just pay it forward.
Omnev.
Yeah.
I don't know who it'll be, but Omnev.
Anyway, all right. So
yeah, it was good stuff, man. That's good.
It's good.
What year was that?
Man, that had been 10 years ago, at least 12 years ago.
Probably 12, yeah. I was going to say probably 12.
I mean, when was the Tigers tournament at Congo?
Yeah, it's when Rory won, right?
Did Rory win a congressional? Like,
was it a Tiger tournament, or was it when they were hosting an Open?
No. It was after the Open. It was one of the Tiger's tournaments.
It was.
Yeah. Didn't Billy Hurley the third. I think
the Quicken Loans. Was it called the Quicken Loans?
Well, you know, I took pictures. I'll have.
That's when you were walking around on the course when the derecho swept through. Or am I getting my years mixed up?
That was derecho year.
Yeah, derecho. It was like 10 years ago.
That derecho traumatized one of my kids. Oh, my God.
Derecho is no joke.
Traumatized. I could find it.
I can't remember what year it was.
I could find it.
That sounds right. Billy Hurley does sound right, but who knows?
Anyway, just in case he gets hot and catches lightning in a bottle. I'll be honest with you. I always thought that Tiger would win again. The 2019 win stunned me.
He has a
because
better
he wasn't
chance.
Playing particularly better than either.
He literally has a better chance of going out in a thunderstorm and catching a lightning bolt in a bottle than he does of making an impact.
Billy Hurley won in 2016. I think it was before that.
Okay. Tiger would be the biggest story winning. Give me the second biggest story.
Rory.
Yeah, Rory.
Phil.
Rory would be the second.
Yeah. I think Phil. Phil, I think Phil's done nothing since he won that
Philly's
one.
Terrible.
Yeah, but
John Daly winning.
Choked.
John Daly. Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, but Rory just choked
Ernie,
the last
Ernie's
one.
Ernie's in it.
Stenson.
Yeah,
your boy Stenson winning.
Yeah, but nobody cares about those guys.
It would be Rory. No
doubt. Stenson finished 13th last year. Well, grilled.
It would be Scheffler also, just how dominant he's been. Scheffler
I think Rory would be the biggest.
But Rory would be bigger.
Just because coming off the choke job.
100%.
Yeah, but no, if the older guy won, it bigger. If the older guy won...
I think less people care.
Are you
of Ernie Els?
Dude, he's like almost 60.
Okay. The Big Easy?
People don't care about him.
Big Easy's got to be like at least 55, 56. No, but it's just that's history.
Very improbable.
Well, I'll tell you who's not going to win, Justin Leonard, because he shot an 80 today.
I didn't even know.
You know which one I think it was? Yeah. I think it was in, was it 2014? No, it is. I think it was even before that. He didn't have the goatee when we interviewed him. He was drinking coffee. He's probably hungover.
Was it the year? He didn't win it that year, I don't think.
Just sullying his good name.
No, you know what? Was it the year that he hit all those balls? Remember they did he hit on the par three, he hit all the balls in the water?
Why don't you check James Patterson's book to see if it's
this is the aficionado.
No, do you remember? Remember he
Yeah, he hit three balls in the water and threw it, put his club back because everyone was going to Joan.
I'm going to say it was 2013 Billy Haas won it. Because it was at Congressional in 2012, 13, and 14. And
yeah, I think it went back in
16, but I think it was before 16.
I think it was like 2012.
He won it in 2012.
I know it was in 2014 because he didn't have a goatee when we interviewed him. And I have pictures.
So it was either
it.
13 or 12.
You remember Tiger's facial hair evolution year by year?
Well, I have it documented right here, and I remember interviewing him, and he did not have his goatee. I mean, how many times did he have a goatee? Not often. That was a phase he went through.
I went through an awkward goatee phase for a while. Heavy goatee.
What do you call this phase?
This is called the
Andrew Luck dirty neck phase.
Beard, like getting towards Braden Holtby phase.
Full bush.
Yeah, pretty close. I'm gonna have to tidy up before the Commander's happy hour on Monday. I can't go looking like this. I'd look a mess. I have to present myself in public.
Right.
I can't believe you're going.
I'm gonna go hang out.
Good. I'll be there.
Drink on Josh Harris's dime.
It's five minutes from my house.
That? Right.
Sounds like a good plan.
Maybe he'll check out your house for once.
I'm gonna drive to DC Prime. I believe that's the spot. Hang for a little bit. And
he can pregame at the Bischbach's house.
Yeah, I probably won't do that.
Yeah, I know he won't.
Most likely will not do that.
It's going to take him 2 hours to get there.
It's going to take a while. It's a bit of a haul. All right, don't forget, it is an Open Line Thursday. You're welcome to call us, like that psycho caller Mike from Chevy Chase, who tried out, I think, for an XFL team.
Mark
from Chevy Chase. You can go to the Odyssey app, hit the rewind feature in case you missed that earlier. Open Line Thursday brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors, search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation, for your home, because it's where you live. We'll be right back. You live.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980. Jason, why don't you update the audience on the open leaderboard?
I mean, it's windy over there right now. I mean, it's affecting a lot of guys.
It's blowing.
Bryson DeChambeau is 6 over through 9. Sungjae Im is 5 over through 7. Max Homa is 4 over through 9. Thigala, who I have in our pool, he's 4 over through 9. So I'm done there. He's done. He's done ski. Zalatoris, 3 over through 7. Rory just doubled number 8, the par 3. So he is 2 over through 9.
Bryson's really struggling. He's 6 over through 9.
Yeah, Victor Hovland also 2 over. So a lot of guys are struggling. The course is not playing very easy. There's about 13 guys under par now.
Tiger's going to have a devil of a time.
Yeah, Tiger goes at 9:37 East Coast time.
He's just so not tournament ready. You know, I mean, he could still hit shots, but
so your leaders are I think there's 6 or 7 guys who are 2 under. Alex Noren, Nikolai Hogard, Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, Chris Kirk, Maverick McNealy, Minkyu Kim, and Sam Hutsby, all 2 under.
So just in case Tiger makes a miraculous run, okay,
it would have to be a miracle.
What he did in 2019.
Yes, right. It would have to be a miracle.
It might even top when Phil won at 50. Right, and Phil won a major championship at 50. You can hear the hushed tones here because we were in Congressional Clubhouse, and we had the PGA Tour like right over us,
grilling you.
They thought that we were going to ask him about Jamie Grubbs and about Hooters waitresses.
They thought you were going to shock jock it up.
Yeah, and so they intimidate the hell out of you.
Right,
but I got one. Jason had a question for Tiger, and I had a question. I can't remember what yours was because yours didn't go viral.
Jason's question gets no run.
Why did it get no love?
I think you guys had multiple questions. Jason's question.
Like 2 minutes.
Jason's question was, how does your back feel when you hit the ball, basically with your new swing?
Right.
And then.
What kind of
schedule are you going to play for the upcoming season?
Right.
I would have
bet
on. What do you think of the course?
What, Congressional?
Yeah.
From Jason?
Yeah.
Mine, of course, was iconic and like golf picked it up and Golf Channel. Yeah, everything.
Like Golf Digest.
Thank you. Here we go.
You know, you alluded earlier to Tom almost winning at 59 at the British Open. We've had this argument on the air many, many times. I believe you or somebody in your condition can win well into their 50s. Mm-hmm. If things factor in, do you agree with that sentiment?
Absolutely. 100% agree with that. And it just has to be on the right golf course. It can't be, if you're at that age, by the time I'm that age, it'll be some golf course that's over 8,000 yards. And it's probably not going to be at one of those. It's probably going to be at a shorter golf course like you would find at a British Open. And, Tom got a term where it was like the perfect open because it was howling. It's a golf course he had won on. He knew how to play, and it was playing very, very quick. So Tom turns the ball over and runs it out there. So you certainly can see a certain player playing into their 50s and being successful at on a certain venue. Can't do it at all venues, there's no doubt. Mm-hmm. Some ballparks are just too big.
There you go.
It was good. It was awesome.
Fired up now.
That's your one shining moment.
The wind is howling.
You forgot to ask him, hey, if you almost lost your leg in a car accident and you had 14 different surgeries, do you think you could win in your 50s?
Well, do you think he couldn't foresee that?
And what if you don't practice
anymore? It's called sarcasm, dum-dum. That's my point. It's a different point.
That got me fired up. I'm ready.
Right?
We got the book. We got the book by James Patterson. He can write a new chapter.
Look, I'm the first
in
one
like
to
2 days.
All right, Tiger's played 4 times this year. He's played 4. He went withdrawal.
Yeah.
He went T60.
Well, he had diarrhea.
He went miscut.
I hope he has his plane revved up to leave Friday.
Oh, it'll be ready.
Yeah, gassed up and ready.
Hey, never know.
Hey, who made this Junkies Golf Pool Tracker program for us?
Probably Mark.
I don't want to see it because I'm probably dead last.
That was a listener.
Your DFL.
Who gets a kick out of the golf pool segment.
4 over.
Yeah, thank you to the listener.
Scott,
appreciate it.
Scott.
A lot of people haven't gone off yet. Mike Moore in last place right now, tied with Fish.
Yeah, I mean, Tagala's killing me. And so is Rory. I'm 6 over.
But a lot of people haven't gone off.
I'm 6 over aggregate.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Dunsky.
Just pull a 10 spot out of your wallet. Just pay it forward.
Omnev.
Yeah.
I don't know who it'll be, but Omnev.
Anyway, all right. So
yeah, it was good stuff, man. That's good.
It's good.
What year was that?
Man, that had been 10 years ago, at least 12
at least,
years ago.
Probably 12, yeah.
I mean, when was the Tigers tournament at Congo?
Yeah, it's when Rory won, right? Did Rory win a congressional tournament, or was it when they were hosting an open?
No, 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 no. It was after the open. It was one of the Tigers tournaments.
It was.
Yeah. Didn't Billy Hurley the third. I think it was Quicken Loans.
Well, you know, I took pictures. I'll have.
That's when you were walking around on the course when the derecho swept through. Or am I getting my years mixed up?
That was derecho year.
Yeah, derecho. That was like 10 years ago.
That derecho traumatized one of my kids. Oh, my God.
Derecho is no joke.
Traumatized. I could find it.
I can't remember what year it was.
I could find it.
That sounds right. Billy Hurley does sound right, but who knows?
Anyway, just in case he gets hot and catches lightning in a bottle. I'll be honest with you. I always thought that Tiger would win again. The 2019 win stunned me.
He has a
because
better chance.
Because he wasn't playing particularly better then either.
He literally has a better chance of going out in a thunderstorm and catching a lightning bolt in a bottle than he does of making an impact.
Billy Hurley won in 2016. I think it was before that.
Okay. Tiger would be the biggest story winning. Give me the second biggest story.
Rory.
Yeah, Rory.
Phil.
Rory would be the second.
Yeah. I think Phil. Phil's done nothing since he won that
Philly's
one.
Terrible.
Yeah, but
John
Rory
Daly
just
winning.
Choked.
John Daly. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah, but Rory just choked
Ernie,
the last
Ernie's
one.
In it.
Ernie's in it. Stenson.
Yeah, but
yeah, your boy Stenson winning.
Yeah, but nobody cares about those guys.
It would be Rory. No
doubt. Stenson finished 13th last year. Well, and then grilled.
It would be Scheffler also. Just how dominant he's been. Scheffler.
Yeah, but I think Rory would be biggest.
But Rory would be big. Would be bigger.
Just because coming off the choke job.
100%.
Yeah, but no. If the older guy won, it bigger. If the older guy won.
I think less people care.
Are you
of Ernie Els?
Dude, he's like almost 60.
Okay. The Big Easy?
People don't care about him.
Big Easy's got to be like at least 55, 56. No, but it's just that's history. You win
it's
old.
Very improbable.
Well, I'll tell you who's not going to win, Justin Leonard, because he shot an 80 today.
I didn't know.
You know which one
playing.
I think it was? Yeah. I think it was in, was it 2014? No, it is. I think it was even before that. He didn't have the goatee when we interviewed him. He was drinking coffee. He's probably hungover.
Was it the year? He didn't win it that year, I don't think.
He's sullying his good name.
No, you know what? Was it the year that he hit all those balls? Remember they did he hit on the par three, he hit all the balls in the water.
Why don't you check James Patterson's book to see if it's
this is the aficionado.
No, do you remember? Remember he
Yeah, he hit three balls in the water and put his club back because everyone was going to Joan.
I'm going to say it was 2013 Billy Haas won it. Because it was at Congressional in 2012, 13, and 14. And
yeah, I think it went back in 16,
but I think it was before 16.
I think it was like 2012.
He won it in 2012.
I know it was in 2014 because he didn't have a goatee when we interviewed him. And I have pictures
of it. So
it
was either 13 or 12.
You remember Tiger's facial hair evolution year by year?
Well, I have it documented right here, and I remember interviewing him. He did not have his goatee.
Mm,
I mean, how many times did he have a goatee? Not often. That was a phase he went through.
I went through an awkward goatee phase for a while. Heavy goatee.
What do you call this phase?
This is called the
Andrew Luck dirty neck phase.
Beard, like getting towards Braden Holtby phase.
We call this full bush.
Yeah, pretty close. I'm going to have to tidy up before the Commander's happy hour on Monday. Oh, I can't go looking like this. I'd look a mess. I have to present myself in public.
Right.
I can't believe you're going.
I'm going to go hang out.
Good. I'll be there.
Drink on Josh Harris's dime.
It's five
Why
minutes from
I
my house.
That?
Right.
Sounds like a good plan.
Maybe he'll check out your house for once.
No, he has no idea.
I'm gonna drive to DC Prime. I believe that's the spot. Hang for a little bit. And
he can pregame
at
the Bish Bucks house.
Yeah, I probably won't do that.
Yeah, I know he won't.
Most likely will not do that.
It's going to take him 2 hours to get there.
It's going to take a while. It's a bit of a haul. All right, don't forget, it is an open line Thursday. You're welcome to call us, like that psycho caller Mike from Chevy Chase, who tried out, I think, for XFL team.
Mark
from Chevy Chase. You can go to the Odyssey app, hit the rewind feature in case you missed that earlier. Open Line Thursday brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation, for your home, because it's where you live. We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.